time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz program, Minds Over Matter. Moderator Dana Rodriguez tonight is joined by San Francisco Chronicle music critic Joshua Cosman and technical editor Kira Pace.
If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
If it ain't. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's beautiful weather out there, but if you happen to return to the house around this time, we hope you'll spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your participation. That's very, very important. Of course, you're going to listen to us in the car as well, but please pay attention to the road while you're doing it. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. And Josh is here, so we might give him some classical music questions. He never gives them to us, but we give them to him occasionally. Really?
Okay. I got one tonight.
All right. And, of course, Kira is here, so we'll have some punctuation questions probably, too, if David asks. And I also want to remind you of our numbers, strangely enough, which is 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. I still read it off a piece of paper after 23 years. And we have a toll-free number, which is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. I also like to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word, at yahoo.com. Use it while you can. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, and because people often, they type in mind over matter, they leave off the S, and then it goes to somebody else, and then I hear about it. So, minds over matter. And if you'd like to hear us online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world, simply by going to kalw.org, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available within a few weeks of tonight at kalw.org. No, it should be available today or tonight at some point. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Thank you for tolerating our introductions all these years because I know you just want to hear the questions. But Kira Pace's appearance this evening is sponsored in part by Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude, making you feel better than the other guy since 1857. How did you arrive at 1857?
I believe before 1857, they used polonium and lead-based products.
Oh. I had to ask. All right, go ahead.
Joshua Cosman forgot to set his clock forward last night and woke up in 1939.
And thanks to our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, the Congressional Budget Office now says that 23 years of Minds Over Matter has cost the American taxpayers exactly nothing.
Cost me plenty of money, though.
Yeah.
All right. All that being said, and since Kira Pace is sitting on my left, she will start.
All right. So, last week, author Mark Laidlaw tweeted, and I quote, "The first line of almost any story can be improved by making sure that the second line is, and then the murders began." While it doesn't work with every opening line, it certainly works with a lot of them, so I will give you a well-known opening line to a novel that I think pairs beautifully with "and then the murders began," and you tell me the novel that it comes from. And I took a page from Laurie's playbook. I've already printed them out for you, so you can read along.
Thank you.
So, we have: as Gregor Samsa awoke one morning from uneasy dreams, he found himself transformed in his bed into a monstrous vermin. And then the murders began. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. "To be born again," sang Gibril Farishta, tumbling from the heavens, "first you have to die." When he was nearly 13, my brother Jem got his arm badly broken at the elbow. It was a queer, sultry summer, the summer they electrocuted the Rosenbergs, and I didn't know what I was doing in New York. We were somewhere around Barstow, on the edge of the desert, when the drugs began to take hold. I was born twice, first as a baby girl on a remarkably smogless Detroit day of January 1960, and then again as a teenage boy in an emergency room near Petoskey, Michigan, in August of 1974. And we'll do one more. It was love at first sight.
We have a very eclectic taste, I'll say that for you. Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Go ahead. I got plenty of them. Go ahead.
Oh, and you're thinking I have only one? Is that
your
attitude?
Just, sure. It was love at first sight. is Yossarian taking the first glance of the chaplain at the opening pages of Catch-22.
There you go.
Best book
chaplain
I read
Tatman.
In high school.
Yes.
That's correct.
Right.
And let's see. To be born again, saying Gabriel Farishta is the opening of Salman Rushdie's Satanic Verses, I believe.
Yes, I actually thought that would be the hardest. So thanks for picking that one off.
Sure.
Good for you. In the town, there were two mutes, and they were always together. That's The Heart is Lonely Hunter.
Yes, that's true.
It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. That's 1984?
Yes.
Gregor Samsa, that's Metamorphosis.
Sure.
All right.
And the narrator who was born twice as a girl and then a boy at Detroit is Jeffrey Eugenides' novel Middlesex.
Yes, so good.
And when he was nearly 13, my brother Jem got his arm badly broken at the elbow. That's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
And Let's the summer they have to the Rosenbergs. That's
Sophie's Choice.
Sophie's Choice.
No,
no, no. It's not
it's
Sophie's Choice.
The Book
it's,
of Daniel.
It, nope. No. It's come here one second. It's
it's the Bell Jar.
No, it's not the Bell Jar.
It is the Bell Jar.
Oh, it is the Bell Jar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the yeah.
Well, in that case, right. I'm going to read the one that I didn't read, and that is, all once right. upon a time, and a very good time it was, there was a moo cow coming down along the road, and this moo cow that was coming down along the road met a nice-ins little boy named Baby Taku, and then the murders began.
That's great.
So we have that one, actually, that, and we were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert when the drugs began to take hold. Those are the only two that we have left.
Do you know those, Josh?
I do.
Okay. I think I do, too.
Leave them for the...
All right. Let's do it. And, Josh, why don't you go ahead, too?
Sure. Let me ask you this. I've asked this once a long time ago, but I think Kira would enjoy this. Who is the youngest non-royal with a portrait in Britain's National Portrait Gallery?
Oh, my God. I was just there. All right. Let me think. Non-royal.
Yeah, there's little princes and princesses.
Can you tell us how old this person is?
No. I mean, because I don't know. I mean, I'm going to guess, you know.
Is this person still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does this person have a name with an epithet that's followed by the younger?
No.
Okay.
No. This is someone completely unrelated to the royal family in any way.
I continue to have never been to London. So.
Oh, it's
could you
it's
could
the
you
world.
Make an educated guess how old this person is?
In the portrait, yeah, I would say probably somewhere between 10 and 14. You know, but I'm kind of just guessing. But certainly,
and this person was famous at that age.
Yeah.
Just because of who they were born to?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, are they some sort of? Artist, singer, performer of some sort.
They were not. They're. This person is famous not through birth, but through actual achievement.
Okay.
At the age of 14.
Yep.
That's a good question.
is this a modern person? Somebody who's still alive?
Yes.
Okay. Is it Malala?
It is who?
Or
oh no, it is not Malala.
Okay.
Oh,
good question.
Good guess.
But no.
Yeah. I aims to guess good.
All right.
Good.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Colette from Myrtle Heights.
Hi, Colette.
In the 1959 film Pillow Talk, co-starring Thelma Ritter, Doris Day, and Rock Hudson, share a bathroom, a hotel room, a job, or a telephone line?
A telephone line.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Ed out in Massachusetts.
Oh, hey, Ed.
I've got a couple answers on the book lines, I believe.
All right.
Now let me see, The Cold Day in April and The Clock Striking 13, did you get that one already?
The only ones that we have left over, and see if you can pick these off, are We Were Somewhere Around Barstow on the Edge of the Desert When the Drugs Began to Take Hold, and then the very long one about the Moo Cow.
The Moo Cow. Well, the Moo Cow was the one I got first because that was my 12th grade English essay, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man.
Correct.
And Somewhere Around Barstow was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yep, that's all of them.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you get my brother Jim, but I had that one as well.
Right.
And then I have a question for you.
Yes.
Last week I asked you a question about actors and actresses who had won 2 Tony Awards. Tonight I got a little twist on that one. Which character has led to the most Tony Award victories?
Ooh.
For best actor and actress in a play and in a musical. So there's 4 awards. Which character won? So, you know, the original mm-hmm. and then revival.
Are either of the non-musical characters Shakespeare?
Not Shakespeare, no.
Okay.
There is a classical, but not Shakespeare.
Okay.
And these characters only appear in one title. It's not like,
yeah,
say...
Yeah, it's the same play, you know, each time.
Huh. Is
a great question.
When you say classical, what's your definition of that?
I mean, classic, more classical than Shakespeare.
More classical than Shakespeare.
Mm. So like Oedipus?
Like that.
Okay. Probably Medea.
Medea was the best actress in a play 3 times.
That's great. Okay.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm going to retire on my laurels now and kill my children.
So that's the best actress in a play. And then we have actor in a play, right. Actor and actress in a musical.
Give us an idea of the actor in a play.
I could tell you who played him in the movie, and that would give it away in a second, so I'm not going to do that.
All right.
The movie version did not star the Broadway star.
Oh, so much for that.
Let's see. Its original date, the original was in the 60s, then again in the 2000s, and again just a couple years ago.
Huh.
So 3 people have won for this character.
And you said this one is actor in a play, correct?
Best actor in a play.
Not a musical, a play.
Not a musical. This is a straight play.
60s, then in 2002. It's Willie Loman? No, that wasn't a movie, though.
Yo, it was a movie.
Was it?
It's been made into a movie, but no, not Willie Loman.
Okay.
Kevin Kline plays him in Soap Dish. I think that totally counts.
Boy, I'm stumped on this.
So, starting in the 60s, a straight play. What are we missing here?
So, is it...
Oh, and it's not like Streetcar or something.
No, that was what I first thought, but then Brando was in the movie.
That was earlier.
Is it Tennessee Williams?
No.
Is it Eugene O'Neill?
No.
We're chewing up airtime here. I think you gotta give us a hard nudge.
Because
this is good, but it's
well,
it's stumping us.
You want the giveaway?
Yeah.
The giveaway
yeah.
is who played him in the movie was Richard Burton.
Oh.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Right.
It was Afraid of Virginia Woolf on the character's name?
George. So that would be George Grizzard. George Grizzard is the original.
And then Tracy Letts. Was Tracy Letts?
Tracy Letts in 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And the one in the middle?
What's his name? Bill Irwin get a prize for that?
Bill Irwin, yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
That's good. I wasn't even asking you for the actors. Right.
Well, we failed on the original question, but we can hit the details real well. So the musicals...
Is Sondheim involved?
Sondheim is involved in 2 of them. Now, there's a little twist. The best actress in a musical, there's a 2-way tie.
Oh.
So there are two characters that have each led to two Tony Awards.
So
about Anna of Anne and the King?
Anna is one of them.
Okay.
So is it the Gertrude Lawrence?
Gertrude Lawrence is one of the actresses. Yes, she played Anna in 1952.
Then Sutton Foster, maybe?
That was my guess.
Not Sutton Foster. What's her name? The Irish. She has kind of an Irish name. Kelly O'Hara.
No. Not quite that Irish.
Okay, not quite that Irish. Okay. No, I can't. I don't think.
And the other one I was going to say, is it The Witch in Into the Woods?
No.
But it's a Bernadette.
The other two characters are both Sondheim.
Right.
Well. So there's the tie, the other best right. actress in a musical, and then the actor musical are both Sondheim shows.
Okay.
I don't know.
No. Mm-mm.
Mama Rose.
All right, okay.
Was Angela Lansbury and Tyne Daly in 1990. Sure. And the best actor in a musical was won three times.
Oh, it's Sweeney Todd, Len Cariou, and...
No, not Sweeney.
No, okay, I'll shut up
I'll
then.
Give you the actors and see if you can get them. Nathan Lane in 96.
Oh, it's...
Phil Silvers and Zero Mostel.
Oh, a funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Funny thing happened on the way to the forum. Do you remember the character?
Pseudolus, yeah.
Pseudolus.
Oh, boy, three... That's impressive. I wouldn't have thought of that.
It's not Phil Silvers, though. Did Phil Silvers win? Oh, he did it on Broadway too. He did it on Broadway.
Phil Silvers did it in 72. Yeah,
that's right. But he played a different role in the movie. So that was interesting. Okay, he was in the movie version of it, but he played a different role than he did
on
Broadway, where he played the lead. Yeah. Huh. Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Okay.
Appreciate that. All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Josh Cosman, classical music critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right. Finally, time for me to do a question. All right, Josh, you're either going to get this very quickly or it's going to take you a little while. So we'll see.
Try me.
All right. The first eight letters of these two countries... Start again. The first eight letters of these two countries' names are the same, but they do not share a common border.
The first eight letters
of these two countries' names are the same, but they do not share a common border. The countries.
I don't know about but. I mean, I wouldn't have expected them to. Eight letters.
Are these eight letters American? As in American Samoa, and then perhaps... No, it's U.S.
No, it's
American.
Yeah. You're talking about sovereign nations.
These are sovereign nations.
Sovereign nations,
yeah.
Okay.
So, once more, the first eight letters of these two countries' names are the same, but these countries do not share a common border. All right.
All right. We'll think about it.
Second question. I'm going to give you... These are all holidays in the United States. These are all state holidays in the U.S. I'd like you to tell me what state is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Kira's raising her hand.
Dominica and Dominican Republic.
That's correct.
Oh, is that... I had that and I counted it to seven and I thought, no, it's... So, well done.
Good, well done. All right. Well, now I have to give you a single question again. All right. What is the largest country in the world that has no farms? What is the largest country in the world that has no farms at all?
And is this a sovereign country as opposed to a constituent nation?
It is a sovereign country.
Okay.
That has no farms.
The largest country in
Mongolia.
The world. Mongolia. Oh, no. There are plenty of farms there.
Oh, it's all desert.
They're known for their farms.
They're known for their yak farms.
Yeah.
All right.
What about something like Singapore?
That's correct.
You're
killing my questions.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, enough of this. I'm done.
Wait, you had a list of holidays.
I'm done toying with you. Enough. All right.
Wait, where's my bell?
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Okay, here we go. One guess on these each.
Okay.
Because I have to have something left over.
Might be zero.
Yeah. Again, these are all official state holidays, so all I want you to do is tell me what the state is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is it. January 13th, Lee Jackson Day. February 20th, Daisy Gateson Bates Day. These are all official state holidays. What state is it? February 28th, Linus Pauling Day. March 6th, Casimir Pulaski Day. March 27th, Seward's Day. May 8th, Truman Day. I don't think that's going to be too hard. June 5th, Jefferson Davis's birthday. All right, again, these are all official state holidays. I want you to tell me the state that is involved. January 13th, Lee Jackson Day. February 20th, Daisy Gateson Bates Day. February 28th, Linus Pauling Day. March 6th, Casimir Pulaski Day. March 27th, Seward's Day. May 8th, Truman Day. June 5th, Jefferson Davis's birthday. All right, one each.
I'm going to take the easy one, what is probably the easy one, and say Seward's Day is Alaska.
That is correct.
Okay.
That was the only one I had. I mean, okay. Is Truman Day Missouri?
That is correct.
Okay.
That wasn't easy enough?
I thought that was, yeah, I don't know.
I'm right, terrible at presidential trivia. I was ready to guess Texas.
And is Pulaski where the Skyway is in New Jersey?
It is not.
Okay. Is it Illinois? Because it Chicago?
Is. I gave you one guess.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
All right.
Stick to.
What's done is done. yes, March 6th, Casimir Pulaski Day. That's Illinois. Okay. So we still have Lee Jackson Day, January 13th, Daisy Gateson Bates Day, February 20th. February 28th, Linus Pauling Day, and June 5th, Jefferson Davis's birthday. What states are those official holidays for? And the numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, I'm going to ask you one more question since you got rid of all my other ones. What is the most widely spoken language in Europe without official status?
Ooh.
In other words,
it's not the national language.
Right. It's not recognized as a national language.
Hmm.
No, that's an official language.
Yeah. They would kill you if they heard you say that.
Wait, so is it a language that is like another national language somewhere else, perhaps?
It is a European language.
Also.
Yes.
Okay.
So what is the most widely spoken language in Europe that without official status? Yeah. Not anymore.
All because you overslept and woke up in 1939. Yeah. Way to go.
it's one of the Gaelic languages. It's Breton or Scots Gaelic or something.
Those
like
all
that.
Have official status.
Do they?
They do.
Really?
Yeah. Breton does.
Breton does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I've learned something I didn't know before.
Yeah.
Huh. Don't know.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello?
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi. Did you get the Heart is a Lonely Hunter question?
We did, but you got it too, so there's your bill.
Can I give you another one to guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
First line?
Yeah.
The day my wife left me, she gave me a list of who I was.
And then the murders started.
Yeah, the murders started.
Then the murders again.
The day my wife left me, she gave me a list of who I was?
Yes.
Huh. I like the sound of it, but I've never read this book.
No, it doesn't sound very charitable.
It's not Murakami, is it?
No.
Okay.
Should we leave it out and I tell the...
Can you tell us the nationality of the author?
I think American...
How long ago are we talking about? It doesn't sound like particularly old.
I think this person is not too long ago.
I didn't think
so.
Right. I mean. All right. We'll leave it out, and then we'll put you on hold, and you can give the answer, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. And can we take the next call in the meantime? All right, let's do that. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Seed. How are you?
Good.
So a few weeks ago, the first African-American Berkeley police chief passed away February 1st. He was a friend. He was a very good man. Very good police chief. Do you know his name?
I do not.
Okay, leave his audience. I really brought his name over as a for him. Memorial his, for him.
His okay. name was Russell, something Russell.
No, no. Totally different.
Okay.
He was a good man, very good man. One of the best police chief city of Berkeley has, and actually to him as far as business. So let's leave it like that.
All right.
But the second question I have, beside bills and humans, what is the second cause of global warming in the world? Besides automobiles and cars, what is the second most?
Cows.
Or,
Cows and cattle, right?
Of course. Okay. So they do produce methane, which is 23 effective as carbon dioxide. Are very big, have a big effect. For every one high, on average, how much carbon dioxide do you produce, and how much water does it take to produce just one hamburger? Let's start with the water. Just water. How much water for a cow to drink to make one hamburger?
Like
how
many, it, how many it's something gallons? Like 35 gallons.
No, much more.
More.
Much more.
What kind of guess is that?
Is it,
no,
I'll give you the answer because it is. It is, of course, since you know it is, it's just a matter of a choice. 600 gallons.
But that's for the whole cow. Gallons. That's not just for that one hamburger, right?
No. But well, the cow. The cow lives for so long. It eats so much and produces so much meat. So for every hamburger you buy, that is how much water, the cow consumes. That is just simple. It's mathematical. As far as carbon dioxide, how many pounds do you think the carbon the cow produces?
Ooh.
It would be just an unbelievable amount. And really, I'm not a vegetarian myself, but people should rethink our lifestyle if we want the planet Earth to survive, especially with the crummy Trump administration. How many pounds every year?
Are they feeding the cow beans?
Well, no, cows eat whatever they want. Cows eat mostly grass, really. They must eat grass.
All right.
So how many pounds of methane gas does each cow produce a year? A lot.
Pounds. Yes.
I'll give you the answer because it is a beautiful show. I like and I really, really like your show and I want more people to listen. Hopefully some people come with more scientific question. 500 pounds of methane gas for each cow. That's each cow and you have probably billions of cows on Earth. Tell you what, I'm really in bad shape. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. And Kira, I think it's your turn.
All right. Since we have Josh Cosman here, I have a stump Josh question, which he'll probably pick right off because it'll probably end up being easy, but I don't know any better. Yeah. So German composer Johann Naumann of the 18th century wrote 12 sonatas for what unusual instrument that has also been incorporated into the pieces Dream Sequences Images 2 by George Crumb, Fireflies by David Horn, Im Silberwald by Yehuda Yene, and Ilovishna by Orlando Jacinto Garcia?
So I do not know the answer, but it sounds very much like what you're looking for is tinted, pitched water glasses, or a glass harmonica.
The answer is glass harmonica.
That's what that is. Is pitched water glasses.
I knew it wasn't the theremin.
Yeah.
So I wrote a whole all play version for that, and I'm not going to have to use it because I don't know
what an
all play
version is, but
with more information, like the fact that it was mechanized in 1762 by Benjamin Franklin.
That was
part of the
scene. 18th century is the tip off.
If
when you say weird instrument in 18th century, then you're pointing right to it.
Now I know.
Don't feel
that
bad.
It's a good question. I didn't know it. I mean, you know, it Crumb sounded right.
All right, give us another question.
Yeah.
Here.
All right. Well, along those lines, the glass harmonica. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. Don't mind me. La la la. So in 1886, French composer Camille Saint-Saëns wrote a musical suite entitled The Carnival of the Animals.
Mm-hmm.
In 1988, Weird Al Yankovic and electronic musician Wendy Carlos collaborated on The Carnival of the Animals Part 2, which featured comical rearrangements of the original movements for a different set of animals. Each suite has an intro, a finale, and 12 movements. Can you name the 12 movements or the animals represented in each of the suites? So you got 12 in the Saint-Saëns and 12 in the Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, that song, I might be able to
yeah,
get
I was
going to
say.
Swan.
Swan and...
Yes.
It's a then piece, it gets harder. It's a piece I don't know as well as I should. There's somebody in there with the xylophones, but it's like the skeleton.
That's right. Is there skeletons? Yes, fossils and it's fossil. Dancing skeletons.
I think I'm about tapped out at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll probably work on a few.
I'll give you a clue that glass harmonica plays into one of them, which is why I wrote the question.
Oh.
Everything ties together.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, repeat the question, and then we'll leave it out for people.
Sure. In 1886, French composer Camille Saint-Saëns wrote a musical suite entitled The Carnival of the Animals. In 1988, Weird Al Yankovic and electronic musician Wendy Carlos collaborated on Carnival of the Animals Part 2, which featured comical rearrangements of the original movements for a different set of animals. So basically, name the 12 animals or movements of the original version and the 12 animals or movements of the Weird Al version.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Yes. So I have a musical question, too, for Josh.
All right.
Uh-oh.
And I, of course, have forgotten all the answers to the Saint-Saëns, even though I've played it a million times. Anyway. Lou Harrison wrote a piece called Pacifica Rondo in 1963, and it's only been recorded once by a local orchestra. Do you know which local orchestra has recorded it?
Which local orchestra has recorded Lou Harrison's Pacifica Rondo?
Yes, it's for chamber orchestra.
Yeah. Is it the UC Orchestra?
No, but you're thinking on the right way, yes.
Well, I don't think it's the Berkeley Symphony, is it?
Nope.
No.
Is it a big piece, Josh?
You know,
It's a chamber orchestra piece.
It's a chamber orchestra.
So what's that chamber orchestra is it Berkeley Chamber Orchestra? There's a chamber orchestra in that plays out of the Presbyterian Church. Okay. New Century Chamber Orchestra?
Nope.
No. There is a recording of Lou Harrison piece by the Berkeley Symphony. That's what I'm not the Berkeley Symphony, but the UC, you know, the student orchestra, or maybe I'm thinking of the student chorus.
Yeah, no, you're on the right track, but it's not UC.
Then I'm stumped. Tell us.
It's the Oakland Youth Orchestra under Bob Hughes.
Oh,
all right.
Thank you.
Good luck. Bye.
And Josh, it is your turn.
All right. Well, we're doing our music questions, so here's one. The other day, I used the search function on my electronic version of Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, looking for words that had the word opera somewhere mentioned in the etymology.
Oh, and then the murder started.
And there were things like opera buffa and operetta, but two other ones came up that had the word. So these are words that are in the dictionary that have the word opera in the etymology,
right.
One because it's named after an opera character, and one because it's named after an opera singer.
Give us an example.
Well, I mean, it's similar to the question that I've done before about comic strip characters who show up in the etymology, like Dragon Lady.
I just ask you because it gives you more time to think about it.
Okay. You know, Dragon Lady is a term that's in the dictionary, and if you read the etymology, it's named after the character in
Terry and the Pirates.
Terry and the Pirates, exactly.
All right.
So,
go ahead.
So I'm looking for two words that are common words now in English that are named after. One is named after an opera character. One is named after an opera singer.
Okay.
If that's not enough to go on, I can...
Melba Toast.
No, but you're close.
You're
in the right. You're in the
chicken tetrazzini.
There you go.
All right.
Well done.
Wow.
And the other one we're looking for
the opera.
The
character.
Name of it. It's the name of a character from an opera, which has now become a common English word meaning a person of that type.
Pinkerton detective.
No.
A common word of that type.
Well, common in the sense of uncapitalized, not in the sense of used all the time.
So it's not a title. I mean, you wouldn't...
It's not
a job title.
That's correct.
Like that. Okay.
It's the name of the character, which has now become a noun.
How old is this opera, would you say?
Sometime from the second half of the 19th century.
Okay. Siegfried and Roy.
Good. No.
Is it Wagnerian?
It is not Wagnerian.
Okay. All right. Let me mull that over.
So it's not Faustian either?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess. All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
So answer to the state holiday. I'm guessing Linus Pauling Day is Oregon.
It is Oregon. Excellent.
Great. And, you know, while I was on hold, I was trying to think of the name of the National Portrait Gallery person. I'm thinking it's a child mathematician, a girl, like famous in the 1980s, but the name is just escaping me.
Well, that's a good guess, but it's not right, so don't
Okay. Don't
spend any more time thinking of it.
Okay, I won't. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye now.
Speaking of which, we should repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. So, Picara, you go ahead.
I am just looking for the 12 movements of the Carnival of the Animals and Carnival of the Animals Part 2 by Weird Al Yankovic and Wendy Carlos. The only ones that have been taken so far are from the original, and it's The Fossils and The Swan.
I'm looking for the youngest person with a picture in Britain's National Portrait Gallery who is not a royal, not connected with the royal family in any way. And looking for a word in the English, in the collegiate dictionary, that comes from an opera character.
All right. Let's see. What do I have out here? I gave you some official state holidays, and I asked you to tell me what the state was, or is, I should say. The ones we have left, January 13th, that's Lee Jackson Day, and February 20th, Daisy Gates and Bates Day, and June 5th, Jefferson Davis's birthday. Those are our official state holidays in what states? And what is the most widely spoken language in Europe that does not have official status? The most widely spoken language in Europe that does not have official status.
Is that one going to be a trick question where the answer is English because it somehow doesn't have official status?
Nope.
Oh. It's the national language.
I will give you a small hint. Yeah. It is named after
Seriously? Esperanto?
No.
Oh.
It is named after a province of a European country.
Right. I was going to guess either Catalan or Picard.
Neither one.
Okay. Or Basque is my last guess. Okay.
Is it a Romance language?
No. I would say no. No, it is not.
Is it Norwegian Bokmål?
It is not.
Okay.
And
how about...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, never mind.
All right.
How about Frisian?
No, that's an excellent guess, but no, it is not Frisian.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to give you, I'll give you one, let's see, we'll see how this goes. So, as of last year, this is the list of the most performed symphony, piano, and violin concertos in the United States among classical orchestras. So that's what I want. I want the most performed symphony, the most performed piano concerto, and the most performed violin concerto among U.S. orchestras in the year of 2000, I think it's 2015 to 16 season.
I don't even know how to...
None of it's experimental, I'll tell you that.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, the violin concerto, could be the Mendelssohn, could be the Beethoven, could be Sibelius. Those would be, you know, is it one of those three?
It is.
Yeah, but, you know, once you get there, I don't know how to make the choice. I would have guessed the Mendelssohn.
Wrong.
See, all right.
I'll give you another guess.
Is it the Beethoven?
No.
Okay.
One more guess.
How about the Sibelius?
That's correct.
Really, Sibelius
is
the first one? I'll be darned. Symphony is, well, no, it's probably not, it's not Beethoven 5th. It's something else. It's Tchaikovsky 4th, maybe.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these are all kind of in the same ballpark.
I know it all turns into a big blob for you after a while.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know how to judge. Piano concerto, maybe Beethoven 4?
No.
Or 5?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
All right. Leave that out. All right, and don't have a lot of... all right. I think these will be picked off pretty quickly, so I'll get this to you. These are the list of the Best Picture Academy Award winners that have a geographical location in the title.
How many are there?
There are 12. And it has to be a real geographical location. No imaginary. Places.
So,
like not the Wizard of Oz. But
if To Hell and Back had won, as it should have.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No. So these have to be real geographical locations that are mentioned in the titles of what Best Picture Academy Award winners?
Dope.
What about American Beauty and L.A. Confidential? Were either of those Best Picture? I don't even remember.
Not American Beauty
American
was.
Beauty
American
was.
Beauty was, but it, American and American.
Oh, you're looking
oh,
for
I see.
It.
All right. Okay.
Like, so that's, yeah. So I'm going to, my first guess was.
I mean, you're technically.
An American in Paris.
The edge there. Yes.
But that's not, but because that's for
but
Paris.
But you know, all right, that's credit for everybody. Okay, there you go.
American in Paris, and Cimarron is it is turns
that
out
is
to
one.
Be a geographical location
it does
after
indeed.
All.
Yes,
and what else have we got here?
Yes,
I'm thinking.
All right. So what are the Best Picture Academy Award winners that
there
mention a real geographical location in their title?
Oh, out of Africa.
Out of Africa. All right.
All right. I'll stop.
Okay, that's enough.
Oh.
Just here.
Oh, I was just going to guess Chicago because I don't remember.
That is correct one. Also.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. Bells for everybody. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? Did that win?
Good guess, but it was nominated, but it did not win.
Okay. Most spoken European language. How about Roma?
Ooh. No, that's an excellent guess. But Roma actually has official status in a couple of countries.
It does?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. How about Bretonese or Breton?
Not Breton. Breton actually has official status in a few countries, too. Or not a few countries. I think one or two, maybe.
Shot down all over. Okay, let's see. Lee Jackson, I'm just going to guess Rhode Island because they never get any love.
It is not.
Okay. Jefferson Davis' birthday, is that Mississippi?
It is not.
A bell this evening. Okay. I've got a couple of questions. First, I've got a first sentence for a novel.
Okay. All right.
But a screaming comes across the sky.
That's the crying of Lot 49. Gravity's Rainbow, excuse me.
Very good.
Excellent.
Yes. Okay. And then what is the what's the oldest city, or well, I guess the first city in California that has a name that is not Spanish or Native American?
Ooh.
The oldest city in California.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it Oakland?
No.
Okay.
Is it Stockton?
It is Stockton.
Nice.
Wow.
All
right.
Excellent. Thanks a bunch. Great
Thank
show,
you.
As always.
And I guess Stockton because the University of the Pacific is the oldest college in California.
Really?
So, and that's in Stockton. So, all right. Just to remind you of our numbers here on Minds Over Matter, those would be area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. And let's go take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Mark and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right. That language that's widely spoken but not official status.
I didn't say it was widely spoken. I said it's
the
most widely spoken
language
that doesn't have official status.
Right.
It's not generally widely spoken, though.
Right. I was thinking, like, say, Lap.
No.
Or, like, I'm thinking, like, in the Faroe Islands.
No.
And that's got me stumped. Now, the other question, opera-based, I'm thinking like Pagliacci.
No.
And Carnival of the Animals, which is funny because I've got that very album with Weird Al and Wendy. So I'm stepping away from the thing. Some of the animals in there are like, there's the poodle.
Yes.
And amoeba.
Amoeba, that is correct.
Yeah. And Sasa. There are elephants in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all things poultry, like chicken.
I'm going to count that as Hens and Roosters, which is the first movement, but you're on the right track for another movement, number 9, or 10, actually.
Without stepping away, not ducks, like geese or turkeys.
I'm going to give it to you and say aviary, because that was another movement.
Yeah. That other question's got me stumped, but I think we'll... Jefferson Davis Day, how about Tennessee?
No.
Okay, we're stepping away.
All right.
We're out. We're done.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
And Kira, it's your turn. Short question is my advice, because we have 15 minutes.
Yep. So I brought up the AFI 100 Years, 100 Movies about a month ago. 9 directors who are featured on these 100 Years, 100 Movies have 3 or more films that are on the current AFI list. Name them.
Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. And I should point out that these are all American movies, which mean English language with significant creative and or financial production from the U.S. But yes, Hitchcock has 4.
John Ford.
No.
Oh, I've lost faith in that list already.
Billy Wilder.
Yeah.
Yes, he also has 4.
Yes, and rightly so.
William Wyler.
No.
How about Vincent Minnelli?
Yeah, no. That's good. Really? No?
No. The person who has the most has 5.
It's like Spielberg or
it
somebody.
It is like Spielberg.
Yeah, this is all done by people who...
I don't know movie history, disagree with much of this list.
Is Capra on the list?
He is.
Okay.
Yes.
Is Victor Fleming on the list?
Nope.
Gone with the Wind, The Wizard of Oz? Nothing like
That's
that.
Only 2.
That's only 2.
Mm-mm.
All right.
I would have thought Wyler would be there. And Ford and, Howard Hawks.
Nope.
No?
No. This doesn't skew. People don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know. But I'll say that the 5 that are left are very big, well-known.
Oh, they're well-known.
Oh, I'm sure they're all well-known.
No, well-regarded.
Like, is James Cameron on there?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't really have a lot. I know he was end of the 20th century,
is Woody Allen on the list?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am in great disagreement with this list.
I'm good with that.
It's all political thrillers and war movies on this
Sydney
list.
Sidney Pollack.
No.
Alan J. Pakula.
Nope.
Okay.
Smithy, also not on this list.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's leave him for the...
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
This is Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I have 3 guesses and a question.
Yes.
So for the movies, Philadelphia?
That
did not win.
That was
did
not best
win.
Picture.
Okay. And then for the language.
Yes.
Your cluing about 10 minutes ago kind of threw me off, but what about Lap?
No.
Okay. And then is Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson's Day in Mississippi?
It is not.
Oh, geez. All right. 3 strikes, you're out. So, daylight savings time.
Yes.
Which 2 states do not change their clock?
Indiana's one.
Yeah.
And Arizona, I think, is the other. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Were you about to say that?
I was, but I think... Is that right, Glenn?
No.
Well, Indiana's right, isn't it?
No.
Is Arizona right?
Parts of it.
Parts of it, yeah. It's parts of it, yeah. But Arizona is right,
yeah,
surely.
I think
yeah, Arizona's right, yes.
Oh, okay.
Arizona's right and Indiana's wrong is what he's telling
there
us.
There we go.
Oh, is it going to end up being something like Hawaii or Alaska?
Something like that, yes.
Hawaii.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
It's always Hawaii.
There you go.
Thanks. You, Glenn.
Yeah, bye.
All right, Josh, something short?
Sure. Currently, who are the oldest and youngest members of the U.S. Senate?
Now, the oldest is a lady, and that's as far as I remember.
Okay. When you think of a name, you get back
Dianne
to me.
Dianne Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein is correct.
And is James Lankford the youngest?
No, I don't know who that is.
He's Oklahoma.
No.
Tom Cotton?
Tom Cotton is
All right.
the youngest.
Nice.
Well done.
All right.
You did good. That's the only shorty I
James
got.
James Lankford looks like he's about 8
I'll
years
tell
old.
You this. I'll nudge you forward on the opera
All right.
character. It's
yes.
from Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
There's a character in Gilbert and Sullivan whose name has now become...
I had a guess, and I think it's wrong, and I don't actually know enough to even know if it's Gilbert and Sullivan or not. I doubt it. Lothario, probably not.
No. Good guess, but not right.
Coco?
No.
All right. I think about that.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I'm still laughing over Coco. basically, I thought I'd try for a couple of these directors.
Yes.
Elia Kazan?
No.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
Clint Eastwood?
No.
That's also a good guess.
Right.
So many good guesses. Have to say Ernest Lubitsch because I love him.
Sorry.
Okay. So basically, you want locations for best pictures?
Right. I have a list of the best pictures that has a real geographical location in the title.
Okay. So I'm sure Casablanca's got to be there.
Of course.
Oh
right.
All right. Now, Hamlet is a place.
No.
But I'm not going to throw that at you.
No, thank you.
Does The Greatest Show on Earth count?
No.
And so Around the World in 80 Days.
That is, of course, yes.
Well, you're counting
the world?
Wait, the world is not a geographical
location?
No, it's fine, but then you got to count the Earth, too.
Well, you know, if I was out in space, I would come to Earth.
All right.
You can have both or none, but you can't pick and choose.
Okay.
Did you guess The Greatest Show on Earth?
I was about to. Thomas beat me to it.
All right.
Okay. Now, Camille Saint-Saëns?
Yes.
Kangaroo?
Yes, that's on there, it hasn't been taken. Yes.
Isn't there one about fish, or is
yes.
it not? Got it.
Is and it, it's the one with the glass harmonica.
Oh.
Do you remember? It's called The Aquarium.
Yeah.
And turtle?
Tortoises, so I'll give it to you.
And somehow I hear a donkey, but that's not in there, is it?
It's known as the character with long ears, and it's the donkey, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Although there's actually
but
two.
The music
there's,
critic, right?
Well, there's another one called Wild Asses or Swift Animals, and that's a donkey-like animal, so I'm going to give you both of them.
Okay, and I just wanted to comment on the Massachusetts guy, because I thought those questions were really cute.
Oh, I'm sure he'll like that.
Okay, good night, guys.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Herb in Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Herb.
Guess on Josh's question about the most performed symphony, Schubert's Fifth.
That was my question, but that's okay.
Your question.
It is not
Sorry.
Schubert's Fifth. I love that symphony, but it's not that.
Not that. Okay. The operatic character for whom an English language word is named, I think it might be Pooh Bah.
Oh. That is correct.
Oh.
Well done.
Okay. I was on the right track.
You were.
Kind of.
While we're on Gilbert and Sullivan, I've got a question for you guys.
Yes.
Who is the only character in a Gilbert and Sullivan who appears in two different operas?
Ooh.
Oh, I think I've heard this.
I've never heard this, and I can't. I was just going to say I love it, but I don't know.
Well, I'll give you a hint.
Not yet.
I do know this. It's... HMS Pinafore is one of them, isn't it?
Yes.
And
what's the other opera?
Is it The Major General?
Nope. That's not the character. That Major General is from Pirates.
Right. I'm sorry. You're right.
So someone from Pinafore appears in somewhere else, is what you're saying?
They make a cameo appearance in another opera, correct?
Exactly. Which one? It's one of the very late ones.
I was going to say, it sounds like it might be.
Is it
Utopia Limited?
Utopia Limited.
Okay.
Right. He's one of the flowers of progress.
Oh, that makes sense.
The second act of Utopia Limited. And originally for that question, I was going to suggest factotum, as in Lago al factotum, which of course refers to Figaro.
Right.
Sung by Figaro. And I also want to mention in connection with Carnival of the Animals, there's a wonderful version with Ogden Nash's lyrics, his poetry, and I haven't heard it for a long time.
Yeah.
The Weird Al...
That piece of music with Ogden Nash.
Yeah, the Weird Al version actually is sort of draws on Ogden Nash. Weird Al will speak... he would write a poem for each of them, and then you'd hear Wendy Carlos's interpretation.
Oh, okay. I don't believe I've ever heard the Wendy Carlos, at least I... can't recall. Anyway, the wild ass creature is called the onager or onager.
Quite possibly. The names I have are Mongolian Kulan and Zigatai, but I think you're right.
Also, there's something, there's a very lovely movement about goldfish, and might have been mentioned already. Anyway, that'll do it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me? This is Peter in Oakland.
Hi, Peter.
And the last guy heard the same record that I grew up with, the Ogden Nash Verses, read by Noel Coward. And what's interesting is that it has 15 movements, including an introduction and grand finale. And the only animal that was left out by everybody, I think, is the pianists.
That is part of the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite hilarious. And Nash's verses are wonderful.
Thank you.
And I have the LP. So that's what I've got.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bernie in Berkeley about the Academy Award-nominated film with a place name.
Yeah, it has to be Academy Award-winning.
Winning, yes. Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Correct.
Oh, good.
And there was one that was close, which was Treasure of the Sierra Madre, but did not win.
Right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And bye-bye. Bridge Over the River Kwai reminds me to put Lawrence of Arabia on
that. That is also correct.
They're the same.
There you go.
So there was a guess for Philadelphia. What about Philadelphia Story?
Did not win Best Picture.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Yes, if that's me, yes.
It is you. Yes, please go ahead.
Hi. It's Jeremy from San Francisco. I'll try some of those Best Picture ones for you.
All right.
How about All Quiet on the Western Front?
That is correct.
And West Side Story.
That is correct.
Oh, good.
Excellent. Let's see. What the heck is even left?
You have...
I will guess another southern state for Jefferson Davis's birthday that no one has guessed yet. Georgia.
No.
Great. I can guess other southern states, but anyway. And the National Portrait Gallery is Daniel Radcliffe.
That's correct.
Oh,
well done.
No
good
kidding.
For you. I'm glad
yes,
you got
nicely
that.
Done.
Good for
well,
you.
Well, I've heard that before. I just guessed that brilliantly. Anyway. Fine, here's a quick question for you since it looks like we're almost out of time.
Right.
All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way.
Anna Karenina.
Of course. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. One call, very quickly. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, John. Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is John from Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
I have a question, answer, I think, on the language.
All right.
I'm thinking Sardinian or Corsican.
Those are both excellent guesses, but neither one.
No, but neither one. Concerto Beethoven number 3?
No.
All right. Symphony, Beethoven number 5?
No.
Okay, let's see. Did I have anything else there? Well, for an opera word, there is Bohemian, but I think the word predates the opera.
It does, well. Exactly.
I don't think that would qualify. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. All right, time to clean up very quickly. Kira, go ahead.
All right. The Weird Al Yankovic, Wendy Carlos animals included aardvark, hummingbirds, snail, alligator, pigeons, shark, cockroaches, iguana, vulture, and unicorn.
All right.
The rest of the directors on the AFI list are Stanley Kubrick with 4 movies, Charlie Chaplin, Francis Ford Coppola, John Huston, and Martin Scorsese with 3. Right. I think that's it.
All right.
I'm tapped out.
Oh, okay.
What is that language?
The most widely spoken language in Europe without official set, that is Silesian. Silesian.
And Dana, the book that started The Day My Wife Died?
Yes.
It's by Chang Ray Lee, native speaker.
All right. The most performed symphony of last year was the Brahms Symphony No. 1. Piano Concerto. I don't know why nobody guessed this. Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto. The state holidays, these official state holidays. Lee Jackson Day, nobody figured out that's Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. That's Virginia. Daisy Gates and Bates Day is Arkansas. Jefferson Davis's birthday is celebrated in Alabama. the best pictures had the geographical location. The only one nobody got, On the Waterfront. And, well, I know it's a stretch, but... And Broadway Melody. Nobody got that. Oh. All right. If we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My great thanks to our panel tonight. Editor Kira Pace, thank you very much. And Josh Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle. Our thanks, of course, to David LaTulipe and Steve Wilcock for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. My name is Dana Rodriguez. I've been your moderator. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.
AALW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, inviting you to a conversation with showrunner David Mandel, who will take us inside Veep, the hottest comedy on television, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, for which he is executive producer and writer. Friday, March 24th at 7 p.m. Information at jccsf.org/arts. This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco.